Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Jenny Pither is my guest in this very chatty chat. Jenny's the founding director of Allied Health Admin Services. She's a virtual assistant, and I have crowned her officially as the NDIS processing queen. She was very happy with that title too. So in this conversation, we do get into a fair bit of philosophizing, if that is a word, about the NDIS and where it is now and kind of where it might be in the future. We very much spend some time on the value of having a virtual assistant and how it frees you up to get on with a whole lot of other more awesome stuff in your business. Jenny spills the beans on her favorite practice management software. So there was no stopping her really on that one. So you can get the goss on what she likes and why. And we also cover a little bit about admin and business admin, but not too much, and it's not boring. So yeah, this is a chatty one. I know you'll enjoy. Hello, everybody. I've got another wonderful guest for you, and this is going to be an NDIS heavy conversation, I suspect, which can only be good. Jenny Pither is the founding director of Allied Health Admin Services. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
And fair to say, before I hit record, I crowned you the NDIS processing queen.
Yes, you did. You did.
Is that a crown that you wear readily?
Absolutely. Absolutely wear it readily. I'm loving the referrals I'm getting from my existing clients. They're passing on to their fellow colleagues and friends. Oh, she's amazing with the NDIS. She helped us.
Oh, all those portal secrets. Tell us exactly what it is that you do, because it is somewhat mysterious.
Okay. So I started Allied Health Admin Services around 15, 16 months ago. This was the brainchild of, at the time, I was working with Debbie Hopper from Life Skills for Kids, and she knew my potential. She knew my background. I've had over 25 years experience in the medical sector, and another fellow colleague of hers, Lisa Hughes.
The rock stars of OT.
From Occupational Therapy Helping Children. They both encouraged me to start my business and share my wealth of knowledge.
Wonderful. So what does a virtual assistant do?
Okay, so we, Allied Health Admin Services, we provide those services for, or the day-to-day services to allied health professionals to free up their time. It also saves them from having staff in an office. It saves them outlaying costs to set up an office for an assist to have an administration person with them. It also helps keep their running costs down, such as superannuation and tax and leave loading and all of that. So we provide a lot of the day-to-day back-end things for allied health professionals, things like diary management, electronic filing, data entry, transcription, but most of all, NDIS, helping providers with the NDIS, dealing with their little issues as they arise within the portal.
The portal. We're there. We're 7 minutes in and we're at the portal already.
Oh, the portal.
We won't go there just yet. Keep people listening. Is it just you, or have you got a cast of thousands?
Not a cast of thousands yet. I have put on my first employee, though, in earlier this year. So she started with me in April. So Tonya actually brings a PA background. to Allied Health Admin Services. So she's had a lot of PA experience, so she can manage work, she can help with workshops, she can help with a lot of the background marketing. For my business currently at the moment, we are actually in some talks at the moment between her and I and working out what we can do to help other allied health professionals with a little bit more of their marketing as well.
Nice.
Social media on Facebook and LinkedIn.
The two main ones,
I think, for allied health.
So in your experience, what are the biggest hassles that private practitioners have in terms of all that admin stuff?
Their biggest bruise is that they lose time. They lose precious time within their practice and not being able to see their clients. They lose precious time with their family. So generally anything related to administration is a major bruise to an allied health business owner. I actually had a discovery call yesterday with a now new client, and they said their biggest bruise when I asked them was, you guessed it, NDIS. And just negating, negotiating the portal. This client had spent over 2 hours contacting the NDIA trying to sort out where funding was up to. Yeah, that look on your face says it all.
I know, it's probably good this isn't visual.
So it's just one of those things. And for us, we can spend the time chasing up those things for them. They don't have time to chase up why something wasn't paid. Why was it underpaid? Why has the plan changed? The participant hasn't told us. They don't know that their plan's changed. You hear all of these stories.
Yeah.
All of these stories.
Goodness. Good problems to be solving. Sometimes I have conversations with people in power calls and things, and more than once I've heard, I've been too busy to do my invoicing. Oh. Do you hear that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a client I onboarded probably about 2 months ago now, it was probably late May, early June. From when I took her, when her and I started working together to July 1, I think I claimed in the area of about $7,000 for her.
Nice. Yep. Much better. That's in the business owner's bank account. That's absolutely good energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it was a major audit. You know, it went back months. You know, it went back 6 months or more. But it was an audit that had to happen. And, you know, there was investigation had to be done. You know, the why, again, one of the issues that I found with her is that invoices were underpaid because she had actually used the old support item number.
Oh, okay.
But the provider didn't realise that.
Yeah.
Just little bits and pieces that if you're not informed and you don't know your way around, you can miss it.
Yeah. And if you're too busy to really drill into the detail.
Absolutely. And I guess the other big topic with the NDIS at the moment, and you've covered it with Chantel Robards recently in the private practice boot camp, is the quality and safeguards and the auditing processes. And that's another big question that I'm being asked and spoken about.
That's burning my eardrums as well. But what I'm super pleased about is the amount of progress business owners are making. They are so knuckling down and getting their policies and procedures done and building the evidence trail. And, you know, Chantel and I were talking about it the other day that we left a lot of guests from the boot camp quite overwhelmed.
Absolutely.
Quite overwhelmed. But we're also hearing from those same previously overwhelmed guests by saying, we've made a start. We are capable. It will be so good when it's done. Absolutely. We're not happy. No one's happy yet.
Oh, look, no. And it's going to change. before Queensland and all of the other states come around to their time, things are going to change. And they're all going to learn from New South Wales and South Australia.
I know. They are the pioneers. They all deserve chocolate.
Absolutely.
And big frogs. The Hagues, like the huge frogs.
Yes. The way I look at it, Kathy, and it's something I need to delve into more, as I say, because a lot of my clients are asking me, and I have clients in Queensland, I have clients in New South Wales and Melbourne. I see it as being no different to the policies and procedures that should be in place in every business. It's just culminating all of that information that should be there anyway. And the amount of providers or amount of my clients that say, yeah, I know, we need to have that, and we don't.
Absolutely. And that is kind of that is the bitterness of the pill, if you like, that it's a little bit of, okay, so now it's time to grow up as a business owner and get it done.
Absolutely.
And I know I have to, and people have been telling me. But what's different about the Quality and Safeguards Commission is you actually need to provide proof that you're embedding it all through your team and through your customer experience, and that you can document that proof. So it's not just getting the policies and procedures done. It's actually opening the kimono and saying, yeah, we've got this. We've really got it happening.
Yes.
Right throughout the business.
Being transparent to A, your client base, but also the general public. It's being transparent. So nobody who asks a question is left wondering, you know, is that right? You know, do I go somewhere else? And, you know, am I going to find some different information?
So a big hustle. So big hustle on the policies and procedures and the evidence trail. So sending virtual love out to our New South Wales and South Australian pioneers.
Yes. I'm about to start working with actually one of our mutual.
Anyway, no name shall be mentioned.
No name shall be mentioned.
No favourite children should be picked.
No. mutual clients. And, yeah, we're about to start helping them getting things in place too. So
getting some stuff started.
Yes, absolutely.
So given your involvement with the Allied Health, how are you finding your way in and around and through some of the practice management software systems?
I've obviously, most Allied Health practitioners have a favourite.
Oh, do you?
Or have those that they prefer to use better. I personally find Clinico really user-friendly. User-friendly, it's functional, facade, its whole template is beautiful and easy to use. But given that I have so many clients, they all use something different.
Pros and cons all over the place, I say.
Absolutely. HealthKit is another one that's extremely popular, and it's popular and it's very good. It's a free platform, and you could pretty much run a whole practice based on the free platform, with the exception of your appointment reminders, so your SMS reminders, your email reminders, which I think are an extremely important part of business today. I don't think you want your administration staff making phone calls 24 hours before to confirm those appointments. I think most people are savvy enough with phones and the internet these days to check emails for their reminders. So with the exception of outlaying some small costs for credits for HealthKit SMS reminders, I think, yes, you can run your whole practice.
Absolutely.
Another one that I've started using.
Just tell all, Jenny. Just tell all.
With one of my clients is Nucle.
Okay.
Have you heard of Nucle?
Sure have.
Yes. So it seems to be gaining a bit of momentum. Seems to be lacking a few functionalities that are being sourced, I guess, but they're aware of those things.
They're on the build.
I believe so, yeah.
Yep. Goodness me. So how do you support allied health professionals? Do you it's a bit of a double-barreled question.
Yeah.
Do you kind of decide on the tasks to be done and the hours per week and how that falls across the week? How is all of that stuff designed?
Well, generally when I have the first conversation with a potential client, I like to get a feel for what it is to start with that they're needing assistance with or what they think they need assistance with. And then I kind of speak to them and implement their other things that we can also help with. And then once you get talking with them, they start to realise there's other things that they can be
releasing
and delegating. Yeah. I tend to find that if I start with a basic contract based on minimal, say, 3 hours a week to get them started, because there is a lot of hesitance as well from allied health providers.
We're a nervous lot, really. We're a nervous wreck. Wrecks on a good
that's
day,
fine.
Even.
But it's learning and feeling confident in passing your business onto somebody else and having trust in that person. So generally, those 3 hours won't stay at 3 hours for very long. They'll generally increase because they can see what you're doing. They can see your worth.
Yeah. Do you sometimes have to have a bit of a talk through about how you will use the business owner's voice, maybe in emails and answering the phone? Is that sometimes a point of nerves? They won't do it like the way I like want it done, and they won't,
You mean from a provider's perspective?
I guess
in my, it's like an interview for me. I'm interviewing them as well because I need to know whether I want to work with these people as well. It's very much a two-edged sword. And I guess you get a feel for that person and that practice the more you speak to them. And then when you look at things like their templates, their email templates, or their canned responses to things, you kind of get a bit of a feel for how they like to word things and how they like to talk, I guess, to their own clients.
Yeah, my virtual assistants sometimes do a much better job at being me than I do.
Well, one of my clients, she said she passed us through these letters and she said, can you just write something like this to go to these
gyms? So-and-so, yeah.
Yeah, and all it took was a little bit of rewording and I sent it to her and she went, oh, see, I knew I only had to give you the basics and you'd work it out. It's just the nature of knowing what to ask for and how to word it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a bit of, But again, that's the experience that I've had.
Amazing. All good. I would love to hear a little bit about your background and your business. We're jumping all over the place here, which is kind of nice. What led you to this point of wanting to help allied health professionals?
I guess
that's a big sigh.
It is. It is. Because you know what? It goes back to when I finished school.
Oh, God. We haven't got that long. So just a summary.
When I've left school, I went to radiology. I worked in radiology.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yes. And I basically did radiology. I worked in radiology for maybe 10, 12 years. And then I started a family, went back to radiology, went to general practice and ended up with allied health. So I feel I've just got the medical sector in my blood.
Literally, your bones.
Literally. And I mean, I love, I am also trained in medical transcription. So working in radiology, there's an array of medical transcription that you're going to get. And that's another thing that, you know, we can offer, but it feels that in our industry, a lot of that is disappearing.
Yeah.
With just general note taking and those notes being able to be taken
voice to text.
Or on hand at the appointment.
Yep. We hope notes are being done during the appointment.
I know. Or even in that last 10 to 15 minutes of an appointment.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what, if you have an hour appointment, it is fair to say to the family, your appointment is 45 minutes.
Yeah.
The last 10 to 15 minutes of that appointment is question time and notes.
Yep. Oh, you're preaching to the converted.
Oh.
So, background in health, medical, allied health, in service, in admin, in document management, all sorts of things. That's all very well, but what did you really learn about business in the last 18 months?
Oh. Business isn't easy. It's not easy. You still have to upskill yourself. You still have to learn and take every bit of knowledge you can get from those that you look up to in business. You know, I did see when I started out, I went to a business advisor, and my accountant happens to be a business advisor as well. So I probably speak to him once every 2 or 3 months. I just have a bank of questions that I want to ask him, and he's great. He's been great with me. He's actually pushed me to look at different things that I would never have thought of within business. And it's something that I really want to focus on in the next 6 to 12 months, building my business.
Ooh, what do you think it might look like? Just a little bit of secret sauce.
Well, it's basically, my thoughts are around the NDIS still. It's here. It's going to stay. I would like to I've started doing a little bit of consulting with a local multidisciplinary clinic here and around the NDIS and getting their systems and protocols and everything in place. That's kind of, I think, I want to move in that direction. Look, it would also be good to move into the plan management sector as well.
Careful what you wish for.
I know. But it's more, I guess, on a lower key, a lower scale to a lot of the bigger companies and organisations. I really feel for some of the stories.
Why can't that stuff be done better?
Why
can't it be done better? Yeah, why is it so, complex?
Look, I mean, I don't know. My biggest thing is that I hear and see is that some of the planners with some of the participants that I've become involved with, some of the planners have very little knowledge about what's required for certain people's disabilities.
I think people are tooting their horns as they're listening to this in their cars. Yeah, it's tough, eh?
It really, really is hard. And it's hard to hear some of the responses that people have got. You know, plan managers making participants cry.
Yeah.
Because they're asking too many questions. They're not being heard. That doesn't sit well with me, but yeah.
Alrighty, so lots of growth and bright, sparkly stuff in the NDIS space.
I hope so. Go for it.
So business is going really, really well. It's been a bit relentless, bit of a steep learning curve. Would they be fair words?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big steep learning curve. You know, it's learning to manage a family at the same time. I've got a young family. I've got 3 young kids. One started high school this year. I'm trying to negate those years and run a business.
How do you, what does your week look like?
My working week.
Oh, any week. Just there's a lot going on there.
Absolutely. There's after-school sports, to-ing and fro-ing and drop-off and pick-up at 7 o'clock at night from gymnastics, and then there's soccer and soccer games and all sorts
crazy
of things.
Yeah.
But generally my work day is I try to keep it school hours.
Okay.
I try to keep a little bit of normality. It doesn't always work. But when I know the kids have got things on, that was part of why I started my own business. I could be a mum instead of working 5 days a week for somebody else.
It'll be flexible. I'll make it work around the family. Yeah. Famous first words. Might not be famous last words.
Doesn't always happen. But
well, it's like everything else in business. It's about how much you want it. And put some boundaries around it.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. The biggest thing for me is having Matt, my husband's support. And if I run something by him having the confidence in me to say, well, if you think that's going to work, then
give it a red hot go.
Give it a go. Yep, absolutely. Or, you know, on the other hand, it might be, what does our accountant think?
Yep.
You know, it might be, well, is it really, that's his way of saying, is it really the way to go?
Mm. Bring me the financial reality.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Are you a business owner that has a hard and fast business plan?
No. That's really bad, I know, but.
Well, sometimes when you're in a fast-growing startup, you can be outgrowing your plans. You know, a 12-month plan can be ticked and kicked in 3-5 months. So
yes.
An agile approach of what do we need next? What's the next quarter going to look like? Sometimes the small bite-sized plans are the way to go.
Absolutely. And that is something that I'm looking into as well. So, yes, I'm looking at business plans and moving forward. We're working with business advisors as well.
Yeah,
to sort of work out a plan and a route for us to take, basically, because it's been seen that I'm wasting a lot of my talents on certain things and not stepping up to others. So
you'll need a virtual assistant, just saying.
Yeah, well.
Your own PA.
You're putting it out there.
Having a plan is as much about identifying what you don't do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not falling into that trap.
Yep. Of hiding in the comfortable stuff that absolutely. You probably should be pushing out elsewhere.
Absolutely. Cool. And that's a big thing that I've had to learn, especially having an employee now. Again, it's no different to me taking on a client who needs to feel comfortable in offloading and delegating work to me or my business. I'm in that position as well.
Yeah.
And having to feel absolutely.
Firsthand. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But look, my first 12 months in business flew by. We were finalists in the business awards, our local business
awards.
Yeah,
you were too. Yeah.
Startup. So, you know, that was a massive achievement.
Well, my next question was going to be, what are you proud of?
Oh, that's my, of course, obviously, my family. I'm proud of them. But as far as my business has gone, that's probably my biggest and proudest moment. And, you know, Tonya helped me write the application, because the applications that you have to go for.
Great learning, though. Great learning.
You know, we were sweating on that email to know if we were finalists. And then the moment it came through, she was doing cartwheels in my house. She was so excited. So, yeah, that was a pretty momentous, you know, the kids were pretty proud of mum and, yeah.
What have you learned about yourself?
That I underestimate myself.
Ooh, very cool. High five.
I do. I really do. And, yeah, I had one of my clients ring me today and she said, Jen, you've got this. What are you worried about? You know what you're doing. She said, we wouldn't be where we are now 6 months into working with me or with Allied Health Admin Services. They wouldn't be where they are now with their increased caseload.
If they weren't
able to share.
Yep. Yep.
So, and that makes me feel pretty proud.
Oh, very, very cool. Very, very cool. Now, many a guest on my podcast, when I remember, gets the chance to ask me a question. Is that something you want to do? Oh, I'm so nervous.
No.
Yes.
Well, I would actually like to know, how you are going with the whole NDIS and quality and safeguards and the auditing processes. You've done a lot of work with Chantel in the back end and helping everybody else. How are you coping with that?
Ah, nice question. Chill the Chardonnay, folks.
Yeah.
I guess by way of complete transparency, I deregistered from the NDIS last year, mid to late last year. And so that was well before all of this stuff kicked in. And lots and many and varied reasons for that deregistering. I had misunderstood some of the guidelines, and that got clarified really quickly. So I realized that in terms of what I wanted to be billing my services at, I couldn't do. So being registered meant that I had to comply with the NDIS price guide. My understanding at the time was that if they were self-managed, I could charge what I wanted, but in fact, I couldn't. So there was that sitting there. There was a degree of caution about some of the decisions that were being made, what ethically services might be looking like in the future. There was also just the reality that I wasn't doing much clinical work, and any clinical work that I did want to do, I really selfishly, I guess, or pedantically wanted to be on my terms.
That's not selfish.
Well, it's very much, it's not so much about what I wanted. It was about the experience I wanted for the customers and the people I worked with. That was as much, that's sort of what I didn't articulate very well just then. So there are a few other bits and pieces attached with it, but I, tapped out of that one. And so what I've been observing since March was the anxiety, the sheer anxiety about the tiered pricing.
Absolutely.
And that kicked in first. Then there was the Quality and Safeguards Commission. Then there was the inconsistent information being delivered by the NDIS on its national roadshow. And all of that stuff hits social media before the slides even kind of cold on the screen. So that was confronting. And, so I'm hearing that perhaps the anxiety has toned a little and that people are getting on with it. And I don't mean that dismissively. They're getting on with the writing and the reflection and the teamwork. And I do believe that the good will come, but the good won't be seen for a couple of years. Couple of years. So, Chantel and I speak really often. We always have grand plans and exciting things on whiteboards and very chatty, creative Zoom meetings from time to time. And we're keeping our finger on the pulse, and our commitment is to support NDIS providers to get this stuff done and to navigate it with pride and joy and really attachment back to why they're allied health professionals in the first place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the disability sector is probably pretty high on most providers' list to be able to provide services to those with a disability.
But I still think that the tiered pricing will come in. I don't know how the NDIS will wrangle it in terms of who decides, how it's messaged, whether you can have hybrid packages with different products at different price points in there. What if? I don't know how allied health business owners will be able to navigate that from a budget and a cash flow forecasting point of view. I don't know if they're preparing for that. I hope those that are listening to this are. And I am a monstrous fan of diversifying your income. Always have been. I'm just a one egg in many baskets kind of gal, and I think that this is a really good time to be thinking along those lines as well.
Yeah, look, I'm hearing from my clients a couple of varied ways of them looking at things moving forward. And I guess time will tell whether they're going to work, and whether they work or not could be very dependent on the tiering structure.
For sure. Yeah.
But, I mean, it seems to, from my perspective, it seems to have gone quiet now since the July 1 release of the new price guide.
Mm.
It feels like the auditing and the quality and safeguards is kind of taking over from that. And like you say, is it making us submissive about what's around the corner?
Yeah.
Are they going to drop a bombshell? But it's just one of those things we're going to have to wait and see.
Because yeah.
When they say they're going to do it, they do it.
Yeah. And that's why we chose the theme Embrace Change, Ensure Success for our conference, because change is definite. Change is a certainty. It's going to be ongoing change. And, yeah, we need to be ready for it. And I love the notion of business owners being ready for it, not reactive to it.
Yes.
As much as possible. There'll Absolutely. Be a few curved balls, such as the commercial reality of business life, but to have a few tricks up their sleeve and have some calm, quiet confidence bottled would be a great way to progress with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, from what I'm seeing though, Kathy, and I don't know if you feel the same, I think it's going to be hard for the NDIS to release this tiered structure while there's so much angst still with the quality and safeguards.
Ooh, I'm going to contemplate that.
I just think it's going, from the way I look at it, it's going to be a lot for businesses to take in come next year when they have to deregister and re-register and then provide
the documents.
The documents. The
audit experience.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Maybe. What do you think the NDIS is going to look like, say, in 18 months' time? Mid-2018, end of 2019. What do you think it could look like?
That's
why I'm asking you.
Yeah, tough question. Mm. Because all of the states will be rolled out. All the states will be rolled out, but not everyone will have succumbed to the auditing process until the end of 2020, I think, won't it? Because Queensland will be fully rolled out, or everybody will be fully rolled out by 1st of July next year. And then the states, those states not already going through the processes, then get their time to prepare.
Yeah, preparing is one thing. Actually getting audited is another. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of businesses, but I think we're talking almost single figure number of auditors.
Yes, because the list of auditors is very minimal.
I thought I'd missed a page, but no.
I was actually chatting with a client about that and she said, there's not many on here. 3/4 of a page might have been it. And in some states there was one.
I know.
That was pretty scary. And then it's scary to think that they have the monopoly on that. And how is pricing going to affect? Is that going to come into play? Is there a set pricing structure that they have to go by?
So many questions.
Yes.
But it pushes the audit process out years and years and years. How on earth can New South Wales be audited in 12 months? It's going to take years.
Exactly. And I mean, and that's why not knowing, having a visual picture, I guess, of how the NDIS might look in 18 months to 2 years.
Maybe we should just dream it up and then tell them.
And say, this is really how it should
be. Yeah, we think it should look like this.
That's right. This is our model.
Yeah, that could save them a bit.
Absolutely. If anything on what some of the new plans coming into the second and third year in New South Wales and Victoria in particular are looking like, it could be looking pretty sad.
A little trimmed.
Yes. Yes. We have found in our local area over the last 2 years, we're coming into our third year here at Foster or in our area. So since the first lot of plans rolled out, some of the plans have reduced by $5,000. And I'm talking children, pediatrics in particular, high functioning who need those additional services, and they're being taken away from them. So, you know, I hate to think what it could possibly look like.
Yeah. And I guess from a business owner's point of view, it's about being attuned to that and to be adapting their service delivery models to be less one-on-one, face-to-face, one-on-one therapy reliant. Business owners don't like hearing me say that, so they've probably all just swapped to the next episode or gone to Spotify after that little comment.
That's interesting that you say that. Because one of the pricing models that a couple of my clients are throwing around is reducing their NDIS therapy fee so their clients or their participants can get more sessions in their package.
I don't know what I think about that. Depends, hey? Depends on the context.
I mean, ultimately, I guess they're getting the same amount of therapy as what is possibly required.
I would be saying, is there a different way of doing things?
Well.
But that's been one of my mottos in life, and it doesn't always end well, but sometimes it does.
We've all got to look for trying something different.
Yeah.
Something once, haven't we?
Yeah, same old is going to get same old.
Absolutely. I think there's lots of scope and lots of opportunity for example pricing models to be I know it sounds terrible, but experimented with. If we don't do that and practices don't do that, how are we going to find the happy medium? Moving forward.
Yep, diversifying referrals, sources, diversifying income streams, diversifying service models. The old medical model isn't going to cut it in this new world.
No, it's not. And we've always had Medicare, but the NDIS in years to come is going to become a bigger financial strain on Australia as Medicare. As you say, the current model can't continue.
No, it cannot.
Not sustainable.
And this podcast probably shouldn't be continuing forever and ever. Gosh, with the two of us, we could rabbit on for the rest of the day and
absolutely
send people to despair. So I'm going to give you the final talking stick. What else do you want us to know about the amazing value of having a virtual assistant, especially one that knows Allied Health? Jump on your soapbox.
Oh, goodness me. The value we can, I guess, as I mentioned before, the value that I can physically see from that my clients gain by having us on board and helping them, turning around and saying to us that their client base would in essence have doubled since we've been working with them. We've freed up their time to get out there and do the things that they A, need to do for their business, but B, have always wanted to do for their business, but have got tied up in all the little nitty gritty things that they don't need to do. They can outsource people like us, Allied Health Admin Services, to do and help them with.
Outsourcing to people who love admin more than they
do. There's no module in uni cover administration and how to run a business.
Yeah. And do you know what? Allied health professionals probably wouldn't have attended that module anyway.
Absolutely. That's not their interest.
There would be a bit of a message going around if someone got the notes.
That's right. And it's not what you trained for years and years to do.
Yeah.
Find
someone who's better at it than you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Brilliant. 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 So cool that we could catch up. We'll have to get you back later on for the next installment and to see if our NDIS predictions came true.
Yeah.
That's what we should do. We'll see how far off course we were. Thank you so much, Jenny. In the show notes, we'll put a link to your beautiful new shiny website and all the rest of it so people find you really, really easily.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.